Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Today we're speaking with a group from the Walnut Street Theater. It's very exciting. So much is going on there that we had to get several people here to explain what has happened and what will be happening. Tom Miller, Director of Communications there, and Bruce Lumpkin, Director of Productions, and Doug Watts, who is Music Director. I'd like to welcome all of you here to Crossover.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Tom, you want to tell us a little bit about what's going on? You have a wonderful season coming up.
Sure. This is our 200th anniversary season coming up. We've just begun this week with State Fair. And we've got a lot of things in mind. February 2nd, 2009 is our official 200th anniversary. We're going to have an invitation-only party at the theater with a reception afterwards. We're putting out a number of books. The first one came out in April. It's a photo history written by our producing artistic director and our managing director, Bernard Havard and Mark Sylvester. And a historical academic treatment of the Walnut's history will come out in the spring. That will be titled America's Longest Run, written by Dr. Andy Davis.
So the theater actually started with performances in what year?
1809, February 2nd, 1809. The theater was originally started as a horse circus. It was a theater in the round space with raised seating on all sides and a number of jumps, horse jumping over obstacles through flaming hoops, things like that. And that happened for a couple of years, and then that sort of fell out of favor. And as of 1812, the first theatrical production happened, which was Richard Brinsley Sheridan's The Rivals. And that was on January 1st, 1812, and the audience was Thomas Jefferson and the Marquis de Lafayette. And since then, it's been a dedicated theater performing space.
And I think anyone who has passed the theater, there's a plaque there, you know, and you say, oh, isn't that lovely? It's a very, very nice historic site here in Philadelphia, yet another one. And you keep walking or you go in and see a delightful show. But so much is there now that I think what I've gotten so excited about is the fact that this is such a treasure. Again, another treasure here in Philadelphia. And you have such brilliant plans as well. And can we...
Oh, sure. If you've ever walked past the Walnut Street Theater, you see to one side of the theater is an open-air parking lot. The Walnut actually owns that property, and within the next year to 2 years, we're going to begin construction on a new theater space, which will be a dedicated in-the-round theater space, which is something that really doesn't exist in Philadelphia right now. So it's going to open up an entire world of possibilities when it comes to...
No horse jumping.
No horse jumping. It's, you know, it's actually completing the circle. It's
That's
not really,
right, exactly.
It's not really a far jump from 200 years ago to going back to an in-the-round space as we start our third century producing theater here in Philadelphia. So it's going to be very exciting.
Now, also in the theater itself is so historic, and you have a lovely cafe, the Barrymore,
mm-hmm.
but you've said that you've expanded that as well, the whole process.
Yes, as part of the release, as I said, of our photo history book, we've taken about close to 200 images from that book, enlarged them, put a little information at the bottom, and all throughout the lobbies, upstairs, downstairs, and in Barrymore's, you can read a lot about different actors that have come through, Marlon Brando, Sidney Poitier, Audrey Hepburn, you know, all of these great names that have graced the Walnut stage over the years, and it's really amazing. You see it point to point about people that have come and gone, but when you see it in the grand scope, all the people that have come through, it really blows your mind.
I have to tell you, I was so impressed because I really came in to see the production, and then I was a little early, so we went downstairs to get some coffee, and all of a sudden, this world opened up. The ambiance, it prepares you for the production because there's such a history, and of course, the history of the theater is terribly, terribly exciting, and I'm sitting here with people who are immersed. This is their life, and it is really a wonderful, wonderful life to be a part of. Bruce Lumpkin, you are directing the newest production, State Fair.
Right.
This is another thing that is quite fantastic. Doug Watts, you're the music director
That's
as
correct.
Well, and we have spoken with you before for other productions. But what I find fascinating is that State Fair, I think, was the only film score that was written by Rodgers and Hammerstein. I believe
written
it was
as
written
a film first.
Directly
right.
as a film, uh-huh. which I saw with Gene Crane and Dana Andrews. And I don't know who the other people were, but I do remember that. I remember some of the songs as well. Doug, tell us a little bit about what's going on with the score.
Well, the score for State Fair originally only had six songs in it, the six songs that were made for the movie in 1945. The movie was remade in 1962 with Bobby Darin and Pat Boone and Ann Margaret. And the locale was changed from Iowa to Texas. And with that, Mr. Hammerstein had died. So Richard Rodgers wrote all the songs for that in addition to the original ones. It Might As Well Be Spring, which is from the original film, was their only Oscar-winning composition. But to flesh out a musical for the Broadway stage, they needed more songs. And so the creative team went beyond the six songs that were used in the original film to expand it to about 15, used songs that had been cut from other Rodgers and Hammerstein shows, used songs that had been from their less popular musicals, shows like Pipe Dream and Me and Juliet that aren't as familiar
with. They're not particularly.
And so have kind of resurrected that whole aspect of those songs and those scores into.
Now, when was this done? What year?
The musical was done in 1997.
Okay. So that form of the musical contains all of these
additional,
exactly. But they're songs that were written by.
They were written by Rodgers, primarily Rodgers and Hammerstein. There are a couple that were written just by Rodgers. There's a dance section of the big opening number of Iowa State Fair that was the actual theme song to the 1963 World's Fair in New York that he wrote, called Fair is Fair. And so they used as many sources as they could to expand the score.
So then you are using actually the music from that production, the
97, right. That was John Davidson, Andrew McCardle.
Don McKechnie. Oh, those old names, I think. When was Chorus Line?
70,
sure.
Well, now, Bruce, so how did you handle all this? I mean, it's actually you're taking the actual 1997 score and you're producing this with that music. How did you handle the staging and so on and also the whole approach?
Well, I think, first of all, you're doing a 1940s musical. I think it's the first thing that you have to embrace is that. And State fairs, which are really still, you know, very popular today. Minnesota State Fair, I was just reading about. They were talking about their butter sculptures and things like that, which have been around since the 1800s. But, you know, just embracing the period of time. It was a much simpler time, the 1940s. And, you know, I grew up on all those movies. And so I love that period of time. And what we tried to do is to embrace that period of time and take the score, which Doug was saying came from many places, but what emerged from it is probably, I think, one of the most beautiful, ornate scores ever. I mean, it's a gorgeous, the music is, I mean, Grand Night for Singing. And
well, of course, and you know, It Might As Well Be
Spring. It Might
Spring.
As Well Be Spring. I mean, there's just numbers that people start humming when the overture starts, which is exciting. And simpler times.
Yes, simpler times. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I remember, of course, I grew up on those films, too, and there was a naivete that I wonder if the audiences of today can even grasp.
Well, you know, the stories are kind of the same, if you really think about it. I mean, it's a story about a family from Iowa who goes to the state fair, and the young son, who's 21, the daughter, who's a bit younger, meet people from another
places,
world, from,
yes.
Pat's from Chicago, or wants to be from Chicago, and Emily is a budding star who wants to be on Broadway. So it's different worlds meet, the romance that comes from those meetings, and then you know, the ending of those romances are carrying on how they change your life. It was a wonderful time. I think I kind of think we wish we could do that more today.
The 40s, that was, of course, during World War II also, and I think that impacted on productions and stories and what people were shown to keep them going, because it really was a time of privation for the United States as the war got much more intense. And the theater has always been the outlet, even during the Great Depression, and, you know, it's the escape. So this is part of that,
The show takes place in 1946, which was
right after.
It was the first of State Fair in Iowa
after the war was started. Oh, that's very interesting.
Right. Yeah, so there was a lot of that going on at that time, too.
Oh,
hopes, new hopes, new dreams.
New hopes, absolutely, and returning, you know, new lives to start. That's very interesting. So then, now the cast.
We have a great cast, I think. We have Broadway veterans and new people as well. And we have Mark Jacoby, who's done many Broadway shows. He was here last season in 42nd Street.
Right.
And he's done Phantom of the Opera and various Broadway shows. Dee Hody, who also Broadway veteran of shows like Mamma Mia and things like that. David Elder, great talent. Carrie Walker, who was here. I mean, Carrie
Miller.
Miller, who was here. Carrie Walker, someone else. Carrie Miller, who was here last year in Peter Pan and in Carousel. And then we just have a super strong ensemble. I mean, the dancing, the tap dancing, which is
fabulous. I have to say, the shows that I've seen, you had some.
The dancing is really a big element of the show, and it's very, very well done by choreographer Michelle Gaudet.
And she is an ex-Rockette, isn't she?
She is indeed an ex-Rockette. She's also my wife.
Oh, keep it in the family, as long as the talent is there. Doug, I want to ask you, being a veteran myself of Broadway shows, when we had 26 people in the pit, and they had violas in those days.
Yeah, we had violas in those days, yes.
What do you do? I mean, unfortunately, most of the productions I've seen, and I have to criticize this, has this console, you know, where they operate the mics and so on. And I think the performers sing with mics, isn't that
everyone,
true?
Yes.
So that's something that was never done in the old days.
In the old days,
But
no.
What do you do about reducing the score? I mean,
I sit for hours at my little computer and generate a new orchestration for the orchestra.
How many?
We only have 11.
That's better than six. I've seen six.
One of the nice things about State Fair that people don't think about with Rodgers and Hammerstein is that a good portion of it is swing or jazz oriented.
Mm.
And so we made sure that we had a decent sized sax section in the reeds as well as a brass section so we could turn into a occasional big band when we needed to and then soften everything up when it came time to do the ballads and sound period.
So that's a wonderful time of music.
Oh, absolutely.
It's certainly not only for a certain generation, but I think it's really cuts across all ages.
Yes.
Jazz, of course, is great, and the sweetness, it is really the lyricism of Rodgers' music, and great composer, really, really great. And when you think of what Rodgers and Hammerstein did with the Broadway musical, I mean, they changed the whole direction.
Well, and some of that even goes back into the Rodgers and Hart days. The last several Rodgers and Hart days with Pal Joey and Connecticut Yankee.
But you can Hammerstein see that was very different.
Hammerstein's the continuity through the change in theater.
Much more dramatic, much more classical.
Absolutely.
The approach is maybe even operatic to some degree. A really, really very serious. And then, of course, the subject matter was serious.
Absolutely. Well,
but State Fair isn't. It's light and it's airy and it's, is that right?
Very light. It's a very light show. I mean, it's a romantic, you know, romantic piece. It's
so you come out whistling those songs or singing
them. Absolutely. You come out happy.
And now this whole situation with the theater has taken me by surprise because I didn't realize how, as I said, precious this all is. And if somebody, Tom, wanted to participate in the growth of all of this, these plans, what does one do?
They could give the theater a call. Our number is 215-574-3550. And, we have many different ways that you could, help our theater grow. So, I would say give a ring. You can also check out our website at walnutstreettheater.org.
Now, do you still have you used to have acting classes?
Oh, we sure
things
do.
Like that?
We have one of the larger theater schools in Philadelphia. We have three semesters that run in the fall, spring, and summer. We also have a camp, and the classes are for anywhere from ages 2 or 3 to 83. I mean, we have adult classes, kid classes.
Oh, how did that start? I mean, what was that?
Oh, that started back in the middle of the 1980s. Once we had switched over from from what we were previously to a producing artistic house, we decided to start a theater school. And it seemed to be something that there was a real hunger for in Philadelphia for folks of all different types of talent levels to just get out and do something different.
Sing that song, right?
Hone your skills a little bit. So it started in 1986, and it's grown by leaps and bounds since then.
Have you produced professionals that are in the theater?
Oh, let's see. As far as I know, some of our younger ones, and Bruce might be able to tell you, there's a kid by the name of Mark Indelicato, who was in Le Vian Bleu, which Bruce directed. He is now on Ugly Betty, which is
yes, of course,
not sure what network
it's
on.
The series, yeah.
Yep. And yeah, you hear a lot about folks that end up on Broadway, like, oh yeah, I remember that kid. He took classes here 10 years ago. So it,
right.
You know, names pop up now and then.
Of course, the whole theater scene is different, isn't it? I mean, to go, is Broadway, I'm going to ask both of you, Doug and Bruce, is Broadway the ultimate still, and what's happening there? And is it that productions are becoming, they're all revivals. I mean, it's a very,
yes,
very unbelievable.
There were some new shows, some exciting shows that have happened in the past few years. Spring Awakening, I think, for my daughter. I have a 15-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And
Legally Blonde was another one.
Mm-hmm. Both of those shows are things that she's seen more than once that have, you know, in her mind, they've changed my life, Dad, kind of stuff.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so it's taking on a different, you know, a different feel than it did back in the 90s when we were doing the mega musicals, the, you know, the Miss Saigons, the Les Mises, those huge shows.
Well, those were enormous.
Enormous. Mm-hmm. And I think it's taking a different route now. Shows are trying to become more economical, but yet substance matter is good. I mean, In the Heights, another show, you know, about what's going on in the world today. Not
well,
a huge
Rent
show.
Was a very
Rent.
Important
yeah.
show.
Just closed this weekend, yeah.
Rent just closed this weekend and opened 2 weeks after the original production of State Fair, which is probably why State Fair didn't have a long run on Broadway, because the focus had changed.
Everything changed.
Sure.
There was a marked change in our society, I guess.
I think so,
and the whole concept of what life was all about, more reality-based, I guess, like the Verismo opera or what happened with Puccini. And you know,
the Puccini struck Broadway, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Well, literally. That's
it did. That's
Lame,
what meant to, yeah, La Boheme.
Musicals based on film has started having a big impact lately.
Yes.
I mean, this season at Walnut Street, I mean, all three of the musicals are all based on films.
Well, that's very interesting. That's very, very interesting. So now, well, tell us a little bit about the season, as long as we're talking about that. What did you expect is coming up now?
Well, basically, the entire season is American stories by American writers. That's the theme to the season. We have, of course, Rodgers and Hammerstein State Fair right now. Hairspray is going to be our next show that's coming up in the holiday season from November through January. Then we have A Streetcar Named Desire, which had its pre-Broadway tryout here at the Walnut back in 1947.
Oh, that's right.
With a little-known actor named
Marlon Brando
and Jessica Tandy. And then after that, we have Born Yesterday, which is Garson Kanin's
The
romp.
Most
that's,
amazing
I love
movie.
That old the movie from
Judy
1950,
Holliday.
Judy Holliday.
And Broderick Crawford.
Broderick Crawford was in that, yep. And then we finish up the season with The Producers by Mel Brooks.
Now, for instance, something like Hairspray and The Producers, I mean, that's been done all over the place. You do have, I won't say rivals, but you do have the other, there are other productions that are being done by national companies. Do you find that impacts on your audience?
Well, I mean, it's obviously work that people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is make it just a little different, something unique for Walnut audiences, because it's obviously there's different requirements, different limitations and strengths that the theater has over other spaces. So you try to approach it fresh and new. Sometimes shows are very different. Sometimes they're a little more like what you're used to. So you just try to keep it fresh and new. And what we try to do with shows at the Walnut is we cast here in Philadelphia first. All the artists that build the sets, build the costumes, they're all from Philadelphia. So it's much more of a hometown feel to these shows that really
that's
have
what
these
I was going to ask
Broadway
you, and I was going to ask you about the audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
What about the music, Doug? What about the musicians? You use great musicians.
We
from
use
here.
Great musicians. They're all members of Local 77, which is all part of the game there. I think everybody's a member of a local something or other down there. But yes, I've had basically the same core of musicians. I've been there for 5 years now, and every time I look down, it's the same guys. Which
well, the
is
good
nice.
Ones. They're always doing all the work. Well, that hasn't changed.
No,
that's
that
always
hasn't
been
changed.
The same thing. I mean,
well,
no matter where you are.
But it's interesting that the tours that come in are. You look at Les Mis when it first played here in '89. That revival, that first national tour came in and sat down for 6 months. The tours that are coming into the Academy are 1 or 2 weeks. The Forest only has one show in for one week this season.
Yes, it's very interesting.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Well, what do you think is the reason for this?
Well, there are more seats in the Academy.
Mm.
It has better work rules as far as stagehands and actors and musicians are concerned. It's all economic. And the Forest has to have just the right I think the right show to put into it because it's as a small stage and that odd dressing room situation for the
actors. I think I saw a Phantom at the Forest, mm-hmm. and I never forgot the chandelier. It was one of the most exciting and frightening things to experience. I wouldn't want it in the Academy, though.
Well, the real one would come down. We'd
oh,
be in trouble.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That would. Well, all I can say is this has been an enlightening and exciting experience, certainly for me, and I'm sure the audience as well, to find out what we have here in Philadelphia. I mean, this is something much, much more, and don't misinterpret this, than just a stage production. There is so very much more to the Walnut Street Theater that all of our listeners, I hope, will investigate. And, Tom, you keep us posted about that campaign going on as well.
Yes, in regards to the new theater space. So, you know, again, if anyone's interested, they can call up the theater or visit our website. And that's 215-574-3550. And we welcome anyone and everyone.
Tom Miller, Bruce Lumpkin, and Doug Watts, thanks so much for coming to Crossover and sharing your insights, your intelligence, and your experience with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jill. Us.